Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Miss the first hour? All over the place. Little sports, little non-sports, little politics. I was walking over to the facilities here and looking at some of the TVs, and you know how they have, they'll have these pre-race shows where they have two people on there talking about the race cards, right?
Okay.
A lot of, as a matter of fact, a lot of these tracks now have like two hot chicks doing it, you know, things like that. Some of them have these old grizzled guys like me.
Is that Britt McHenry? Is that what she's up to these days?
Probably. But I used to do a pre-race show out here, God, 94. Well, I'm walking by the one at Turfway Park, and it's got two guys up there talking, and it's got their names underneath them. Like you would expect, right? One of them, some normal guy like Jim McNerney or something like that.
All right.
The other one, it just says fat bald guy.
Okay.
apparently that's his name, fat bald guy.
What track was this at?
Turfway Park in Kentucky. In fact, I can see him right over there. The guy on the left, that's fat bald guy.
That's
his actual name. He's not really that fat.
I don't think that's his real name. His I don't think that's his Christian name.
Well, it might be.
Guy. It certainly could be, but...
But, yeah, I've never seen that and thought it was quite interesting.
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah. So, sorry. I didn't mean to derail the show with
well,
Fat Bald Guy.
Fat Bald Guy needed to be mentioned.
I saw it. I felt like I should share that.
I appreciate that.
I'm sure he's a big star.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in Kentucky he's like a god. And, hey, I admire him for being honest with himself.
That's right.
713-780-ESPN. Apparently, there's about to be a bidding war for Peyton Manning services.
For television?
Yeah, for television. Both ESPN wants him for Monday Night Football, and they're willing to back up the truck. But apparently, Fox wants him too.
Okay.
So I think Peyton's about to get paid, even though he – probably doesn't need it.
Where do you think he ends up? Monday Night Football?
I wonder if Disney's going to keep spending money on stuff like this would be my question. I mean, they're obviously going to make him a big offer, but what if the other guys come over the top? Are they going to just say, hey, you know what? We're good. We'll put Golic in there.
I mean, I guess that's possible.
Yeah, I'd like to see him on Monday Night Football, but, you know, it's... Because I do think he'd do a good job, and he'd be entertaining, and they'll need that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they really need to get somebody in there who's going to be entertaining because they missed the hell out of Tirico.
Well,
frankly.
Let me tell you what the problem is. Is Tony Romo was really good at this, and he has set a standard, and now everybody's looking for the next Tony Romo.
Yeah,
and I don't know that you're going to find him. I don't know that Jay Cutler or Peyton Manning or anybody is going to be...
Well, and that's the thing. We see Peyton in commercials.
Right. That's a different world.
It is a different world. It's all rehearsed. It's all practice. It's all written out.
The jokes are written for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so do we know if he has that kind of sense of humor in real life? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. That's some other football news for you on your Buffalo Bills.
What's that?
The Bills are possibly trading up, interested in trading up. Said they've aggressively scouting quarterbacks all year long. I think Josh Rosen is the apple of their eye. It'll be hard to go up and get him, but I think tie between Buffalo and Giants GM Dave Gettleman kind of paints a picture of where they both might be thinking to go.
Well.
Does that do anything for you?
I mean, it's making a move.
Yeah.
It's making
how much,
a move.
How much of a move do you make there? Both your first-round picks?
No. I'm not interested in that, I don't think. If I could trade them both and get Sam Darnold, yeah.
Yeah, but in their mind, if they like Josh Rosen better than Sam Darnold, how much are you willing to give up?
I mean, if I'm them and I really do like Sam, I really like Josh Rosen better than Sam Darnold, yeah, I'd give that up. I'd give up two firsts for him.
I think you'd probably have to give up both your firsts and something else.
Probably a future second or third.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I kind of wanted to get into was, so A.J. McCarron's a free agent now. That adds another guy who's either going to turn out to be, well, I think he can play. And he's going to get paid by somebody. Where do you think he would wind up?
I don't know. That's been interesting. It seems like a weird time for him to fight for free agency because it's kind of a crowded market now, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's never been short of confidence, and I think there will be an opportunity for him somewhere. I don't know that he's going to get paid what he thinks he's going to get paid.
Yeah, I don't either. I think he expects to get, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo money. That ain't happening. But
he'll probably get Mike Glennon money, though.
He could.
And that, he could. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think he's a I think A.J. McCarron's a very high-end backup quarterback or a pretty low-end starting quarterback, at least for now. I mean, from what we've seen of him.
But there's always that upside.
Yeah.
It's the guy we haven't seen yet. And I think that always makes him more appealing. And, you know, I know the Browns tried to trade for him. I wonder if they would make a move for him.
I mean, I wouldn't call if
I were him, I wouldn't go there.
I wouldn't either. That's what I was saying. Now you've got some say in the matter. You don't have to go to Cleveland.
I think, for me, Arizona is one of those teams that might be a really good fit.
Yeah.
Especially with Larry Fitzgerald coming back. So he said, am I the only one who doesn't want to watch Peyton Manning call football games? I get enough of him with all the commercials. He is a little over. He might be a little overexposed as it is. 3-2. Why do people think Josh Rosen will succeed in the NFL when he was mediocre at UCLA? They look at the tools that the guy has,
and
the fact that you can. I mean, everybody. Mitch Trubisky wasn't that successful in college either, and look where he went. I mean, they always find.
It's about your physical upside. It's about what you know, how you're able to. A lot of it is body. I mean, if you aren't built for the NFL, they're not going to be interested. But and then there's some guys who are able to overcome that because they've had a ton of success. And, you know, Deshaun Watson is a good example of that. He had so much success that, I mean, eventually people are like, oh, maybe because he wasn't conventional. He's not a conventional quarterback. People are like, man, maybe this guy can play. Turns out he can play. And there's a lot of guys who are like that. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's probably a better example than Deshaun Watson because Deshaun Watson's still pretty physically blessed. But Russell Wilson, not as much. But because he was so overwhelming once he got on the field, there's no choice. That's why the guys who have the physical attributes go first because they're going to be given the first chance.
One of the things about Russell Wilson that I liked so much when he was coming out of college was that he made two teams better.
Yeah.
He made NC State a better team. They weren't as good when he left. And he made Wisconsin better when he got there. And that's a sign of somebody who can raise your team. And that's why I liked him coming out of college and was never surprised that he was successful as he became. But there's a lot of guys, too, that I think, oh, man, I think this guy's going to be great. And I thought Bryce Petty would be a lot better in the pros than he's been. He's a joke. It's you never really know. And a guy like Josh Rosen, you know, and we've talked about this with Lance, is does the kid love football? And I don't know that he does. And so I probably wouldn't invest in a guy like that. But the Bills, it's the same thing we've talked about with the Texans and with a lot of teams. If you don't at some point take a shot and invest in a quarterback, you're going to be stuck in this quarterback hell forever.
Yep.
And it can backfire. I mean, obviously it didn't. You know, I think the Texans got the right guy, but with him getting hurt and them not having a number one pick this year, well, what if you get the wrong guy and you don't have a number one pick
right.
this year? Now you're totally screwed. At least in their case, it appears they got the right guy. But, you know, it is one of those things that you just have to At some point, you got to take a chance. And I think of the guys there, I think those are the two best bets, really. And so much of it depends on where you wind up. And I think Case Keenum's a perfect example of that. He wound up in a good system, finally, with a coach who played to his strengths, and he thrived in it this year. Didn't thrive in Houston. Didn't thrive under Jeff Fisher. Nobody did. You know, Nick Foles gets back in that Eagles system with Doug Peterson system, and suddenly he played like a really good quarterback in the playoffs again. I think, you know, if whoever goes to Cleveland's going to be up against it from the beginning, because they always are.
That's it. Cleveland to me is one of those jobs where I'd like to be the second quarterback that succeeds there.
Yeah,
I'm not looking to be the guy who breaks the curse, because it almost seems like an impossible task at this point. You know what I mean? It's like trying to be your wife who hits a 15-year anniversary. I mean, I'm not lining up for that job.
Yeah.
That's an impossible task at some point. But for Cleveland, I understand why. And you know, I think there is sort of a competitor's attitude that says, you know what, I can do this. I'm just sort of the belief that no, you can't. And, you know, we always talk about, well, if Tom Brady were on another NFL team, would they go to the playoffs? I'm like, well, what team?
Yeah.
You know, if Tom Brady were on the Cleveland Browns, could he drag them to the playoffs? Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I've seen Andrew Luck was able to drag a pretty raggedy-ass Indianapolis Colts team to the playoff multiple times.
And we saw what they were without him.
Yeah.
Just like when Peyton Manning was there, we saw what they were when he got hurt.
Well, I mean, an instant just plummet.
Yeah.
So a great quarterback can make a bad team competitive. But, man, if you're not already an established great quarterback, your leash is going to be short. Like, it's, you know, if they paid Kirk Cousins, then, okay, Kirk Cousins is going to get a shot for the next 3 years. If they would have paid Mike Glennon instead of the Bears, Mike Glennon would probably be just as gone now as he is with the Bears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We're live out here at Sam Houston Race Park. Come out and say hello. You can also get 50 Cent beer here at 6 o'clock. It's coming. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park.
We've gotten to the point of the day where the Wi-Fi starts to...
Yeah, people start trickling in. The Wi-Fi slows down a little bit. But we'll be here until 7 o'clock for the entire show, unlike John, who will be out at 6 o'clock tonight because he's got important stuff to do.
What's going on with that, John? What's your deal?
So we have a marriage preparation retreat that we got to go to. And like
a retreat?
Yeah.
What's that mean?
We have to spend a weekend with a bunch of couples and a marriage counselor, I think.
Are you guys going to be doing it on this retreat?
I don't think so. I think we're going to be sequestered into our own different bunks.
Like boys and girls dorms?
I think so. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. But
is this a church thing?
Yes.
Is it required for you guys to get married at the church?
Yes.
Okay.
It's one of those that they're trying to determine if we're good for each other.
Are you gonna tell them that you guys are fornicators, or are you gonna keep that to yourselves?
We'll see. I'll play it by. I'll see what they say. I'll play it by the. Whenever I get there and they ask me, I'll just kind of wing it.
Like if another guy says they're fornicators first, and they're not judged too harshly, you might be like, okay, yeah, we fornicate.
Yeah, but maybe,
If the first guy says we're fornicators and they kick him out of the whole party, you'll just be like, oh, no, we're waiting.
Oh, exactly.
Okay. I like that style. That's a good strategy going in.
And hopefully none of those people listen to our show.
I want you to know, though, God knows, and he's always watching, even when you and Teresa are naked.
Oh, thanks.
God is watching you.
He knows when you're sleeping.
Yep.
He knows when you're awake. Oh, wait, that's Santa Claus.
God, too, though.
Okay. I get him confused sometimes. But, no, I think that's actually a really cool thing. And you guys got in last minute, huh?
Yeah, we were my dumbass was supposed to look a little earlier. And when I started looking,
busy bachelor partying.
No, it was even before that. And I was looking around, and everything was booked up. And then all of a sudden, we get an email this morning saying that there was a spot opened up. And we decided to jump on it because the next one was like a week before our wedding. So we obviously can't do that one. So yeah.
Yeah, that would have been pretty bad, especially if I come out and say, listen, man, we don't think you guys
are
right.
A good match. No.
Well, crap, I paid for everything.
Exactly.
So if they say that you guys aren't a good match, what's going to happen?
I think we're a good match, but I don't know.
But what if the guy in charge, like,
yeah, Jesus says so.
Yeah, what if he believes that in the church's mind, you guys aren't a great match?
We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah.
Okay. You want some recommendations?
Sure.
I wouldn't call her any sort of bad names while you're there.
So I can't, call her that woman over there?
Yeah, I wouldn't talk to her like that.
Okay. No,
That's probably good advice.
I'd avoid that.
Put this in your notebook, by the way.
I wouldn't hit her. Or in any way make physical contact in a non-loving way.
What about like a tap on the rear?
I wouldn't suggest at a church outing. No,
okay.
Not in the Weinstein era.
Nope.
Okay.
I recommend that if there's some sort of an exercise where they're like, okay, guys, we're all going to get up and make our own sandwiches for lunch, I really recommend you get up and go make a sandwich and don't just like sit in your seat and look at her and nod. That's probably a telltale sign.
So I can't tell her to go make me a sandwich.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
After you're married, of course you can.
Yes. Woman, go make a sandwich.
Of course. And then you could slap her on the ass and do that. But now at the church event, I would say it's the time to be cool.
Okay. I'm writing this down.
Do you know how to make a sandwich? You were single for long enough. You know how to make a sandwich.
Yeah.
You can do this. And yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, whoever's talking to Jesus.
Okay.
That's my bit of advice.
Always. I think Jesus is always a sir.
Well, I know, but whoever it is that's talking to them.
Oh, okay.
Who will be talking to John, that's yes, sir, or yes, ma'am.
Okay.
In my humble opinion. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Man, I don't know if you – I'm sure John saw this, but did you see the – Reddit theory on Game of Thrones that some guy just was basically speculating, here's what I think's going to happen, and then everybody ran with it like it was some kind of spoiler. Did you see that?
No. Yeah. I don't go on Reddit.
Well, it
are you a Reddit user?
No. Bro Bible wrote about it.
Okay.
So which I'd love to call up, but now I'm having problems.
Dude,
with
the internet's dead. Lamont, I apologize. I was trying to reply to your comment. But the internet's not letting me even. That's the last tweet I got 12 minutes ago. I can't reply.
Yeah.
It's shut down.
Hmm.
He was talking about how I always complain about both sides, but I never individually call out any Democrats. But we spent 2 hours on this show last year talking about how crazy Bernie Sanders was for wanting free college and how we were both against it.
Yeah, I the bottom line is if you have one opinion on something, you're going to ignore it when we talk about when we agree with you. That's just a fact.
The reason why I talk about Trump and Ted Cruz a lot is because Trump is the president, and I happen to think he's a lunatic, and because Ted Cruz represents me, but like he represents our state, and he doesn't believe that dinosaurs walked the earth. So that's why those two names are the two names you hear me badmouth the most.
Yeah, we're hosed on the internet here.
Yeah, it's over. It's over.
I think we're going to have to try to find to see if we can get on one of these other ones.
Yeah.
But 713-780-ESPN, how about this? How about we go ahead and go to break? And first I'll tell you about if you're not able to get up here and you're down south, go check out Gulf Greyhound Park tonight. Catch live racing while you still can through February 25th. 25 years they've been down there. 25 years, and this is the only time you're going to get to see live dog racing for another 2 years. Basically, they're doing this meet now, and then it's going to be 3 years from now, they'll do it again. So if you want to get out and spend some time, take the kids to watch the dogs run. It's always a lot of fun. They got food trucks and all kinds of stuff. Give them a call, 409-986-9500. Again, February 25th, last day of live racing. So you got one more week after this. Get on out there tonight and enjoy the races. They've got them on Saturday as well. And it's a fun time for your family. So kids love watching those dogs run. Get on down there. Say hello to my brother while you're there. And watch, wager, and win at Gulf Greyhound Park. They're off to the races live.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow from Sam Houston Race Park. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Sam Houston Race Park. Live racing gets underway here about an hour and a half, and 50 Cent Beer gets underway in about 26 minutes. And the gambling guru of the universe and our good friend R.J. Bell gets underway right now. You can follow him on Twitter at R.J. in Vegas. Mr. Bell, how are you, sir?
You know, when you say the universe, it makes me think about the Smashing Pumpkins lead singer was on Joe Rogan like 3-4 months ago.
William and he Patrick said one Corgan?
I thought it was Billy Corgan.
No, he changed it. It used to be Billy. Oh. Now he's William Patrick Corgan.
But so apparently one of his contracts with the record company said this contract is applicable in this universe and any universe that may be discovered in the future.
Wow.
So sure you want to talk about
– make sure he's locked in.
Yeah, you want to talk about thinking through the possibilities down the road.
I wonder if that time traveler guy, Noah, told him to do that because he knows we're going to discover more universes.
Now, is that the guy that was on Fred Flintstone's shoulder with the little helmet?
Was that Gizmo?
I don't know what that was called, that little green man.
Yeah, no, there was some guy who claimed to be from the year 2030, and he passed a lie detector test. But, you know, if I were him, I'd be doing the Biff thing and trying to get as many sports bets down as I could.
Oh, now that would put me out of business, right? I mean, who would want me on the radio?
Well, that's true. Well, maybe that's what this Mad Bomber guy is doing, the Let It Ride guy.
You know something? And this is something we've talked about extensively, and just a quick update. Guy bet the World Series, undefeated, won over $10 million, came and bet the Eagles, won over $10 million. So he's taken about $400K up over $20 million. And people ask me if I could, like, cross-bet him, as in I'm betting the exact same things as him, I would fade him 100%. Because as we always talk about, good bettors focus on the numbers, not the teams. Like, they'll bet any team at the right number. And this guy seems to be all about the team. So amazing accomplishment. But unless he knows something no one else does, it's hard to take bad numbers like he has and keep winning long term.
I was curious your thoughts on the Cavaliers trade at the deadline and what they did, you know, and how it affected their numbers in Vegas. I saw that before the trade they were plus 200. Now they're even money. What are your thoughts on why that moved so much, and do you think that it's an overreaction?
You know, this is one we've done a deep dive on. We actually have a new podcast. It's called Don't Bet on It. Don't Bet on It. And what we do is we say cold cash beats hot takes. So we take the hottest takes of the week, Stephen A. Smith. This week we had Shaq. We had Charles Barkley, Colin, etc. And then we say, okay, what does Vegas think about these takes? And one of them was the Cavs. I mean, the talk on, and this was specifically Shaq, it's like, oh, yeah, the East is done. Cleveland's a lock. So let me walk through this with you guys and get your feedback kind of in a Socratic method here. If you just look on paper, right, forget the two games that were played, forget anything else, on paper, how would you characterize who Cleveland lost versus who they gained?
They lost a guy in Isaiah Thomas who was, I think, overperformed last year. But I think at the end of the day, and you can, I don't know if you agree with me on this guy or not, I think he is probably the most overrated player in the NBA. He's a small, an undersized defensive liability and a ball hog. And I think he was just a really poor fit for what they were doing in Cleveland. Rodney, is he maybe a better talent? Maybe than Rodney Hood or Larry Nance or these guys, but I think.
So what you're saying? You're saying possibly the guy that was fifth in MVP voting last year is better than Larry Nance.
Possibly, yeah. Who was better this year, RJ?
Well, I mean, I guess that's part of the question, right? Is a guy who missed what almost half the season from injury? At what point? Is this a fellow? Because obviously last year, Isaiah Thomas was, I mean, fifth in MVP voting. So we can debate, oh, maybe he was really ninth or maybe he was 12th. But I don't think he was that far off.
He was also on a team where it was acceptable for him to dominate the ball. And when he got to Cleveland, it's unacceptable. And it completely ruined their offense. And Fred and I talked about this when Kyrie Irving sort of first forced the hand of the Cavaliers, and Isaiah Thomas is who they ended up with. I said, this is the worst possible scenario because this guy's hurt one, but he's also going to be a horrible fit with LeBron because he's a ball stopper. LeBron passes to the guy, and Kyrie Irving did the smart thing and passed it back to the best player in the world. Isaiah Thomas gets the ball, and he turns into a black hole.
All right, so let's try to double back to my original question. If I don't know if you're purposely trying to avoid it, but let me ask one more time. Is if you look on paper, how do you characterize what the Cavs lost versus what they gained?
I think they lost a guy.
No,
who
I mean just net.
Right.
Do they have better players on paper now or before or about even?
I think that it's probably about this year. I think they got better players. I think, I think it's probably about even.
All right, let's call it even, or maybe a slightly better players. Okay. What was the premise of the Cavs entering the season with a lot of older guys? Would you agree that the premise was, listen, the regular season doesn't really matter. As long as we're in the playoffs, game seven only matters, or home court only matters if you get to game seven, and it only matters as in you're playing on the road versus home. Chances are no game or series in the East goes seven. Thus, we're not worried about the regular season. Because if you were, Dwayne Wade probably wasn't your guy. And Isaiah Thomas, who was going to be hurt, you know, half the season or whatever, probably wasn't your guy. So would we agree that the Cavs pretty much were building a roster to beat Golden State in the playoffs?
Yes.
Now, to be in the middle of the season or, you know, 60% in and say, you know something, we're getting so much heat because we're losing, we're not winning as much as we apparently should be, then we're going to completely reverse course. We're not going to trade an Isaiah Thomas that may or may not, and I agree with you, probably not a great fit for the Cavs. We're not going to trade him for another veteran player with playoff experience. We're going to trade him for guys with little to no playoff experience, young guys. And what are you getting back there? You're getting back energy. You're getting back effort in the regular season. Which the whole now, what have we seen in two games? We've seen them look really, really good. I mean, exceptionally good against the Celtics and quite good against OKC. So my point would be, talk about not trusting the process. You're saying in order to get a few less bad headlines in the Cleveland Plain Dealer about how we're playing right now, we're going to have, and let me ask an obvious rhetorical question. How would you characterize the playoff experience of the players they've gained?
Oh, minimal.
So now we're saying literally every basic assumption, not only of the Cavs entering the season, but the NBA in general, that you need a lot of experience in the playoffs, has been traded and without really a net gain in talent. Like, if somehow you were able to gain 30% in talent in the trade, you could say, okay, well, less experience in the playoffs, but so much more talent, we're going to roll the dice. But if the talent, by your own admission, is about equal, and what you're gaining is energy in the regular season in exchange for experience in the postseason, if your goal is to not have a lackluster regular season, it's accomplished. If your goal is to beat Golden State, I think they've taken a step back.
Okay, two points on this. One, I think you're overstating Isaiah Thomas's playoff experience. Remember, he was in Sacramento on a bum-ass team for most of his career.
Yeah, but Dwayne Wade, I mean, just the whole approach to
Well, that's the other thing. Do you think Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose, they've got all this playoff experience, but the way they've played this season, those gas tanks are empty. I mean, they realize. And the other thing is that – at this point, Cleveland's not the organization, Cleveland. I'm not talking about the team, LeBron. I'm talking about the organization is now – they now have to be in this mode where if LeBron isn't happy, the chances that you retain him for the future go down every game. And it was pretty clear LeBron wasn't happy and that something had to be done.
I'm not saying and again, I think you're creating a false choice. I'm not saying – the choice was stand pat or this. I'm saying I agree. They couldn't have stood pat, but this wasn't the option. What this felt, or this wasn't, in my opinion, the best option. What this felt like was we'll get a little bit younger. We'll get some heat off us in the regular season. We probably aren't going to win it anyway. If LeBron stays, great. We'll figure it out there. If he doesn't, and most likely he's not, we'll be fairly young, and we'll still have this draft choice. I mean, how in the heck did they not trade that draft choice of the, you know, the Nets? It makes no sense.
Yeah.
This is the only chance they're going to have. I mean, what's the chance of the Cavs? If I said even money bet, the Cavs will win a title in the next 10 years after this season, and the bet only happens if LeBron leaves. Would you say yes or no?
I would say there's zero chance. I wouldn't say zero chance, but there's a very small chance with no LeBron that Cavs never win again.
So holding back that New Jersey pick, the seventh or eighth or sixth pick, what did they gain? Why not put that together with Isaiah Thomas and potentially get like a good real player?
That's a good question. I think a lot of it was I don't think there was a lot of teams in a position to take on Isaiah Thomas, who it's pretty clear is not what he was last year. And I don't know. I don't know if this is like reality or just my perception, but I don't think there's a lot of teams lining up to help Cleveland or help Golden State and to make a deal with those guys. Draft picks in the NBA are. I don't think their value is nearly what those teams think they are. So, but to me, you know, if I've got to get the seventh pick, you know, that to me is like, okay, that might be something, but more often than not, it's a coin flip.
Then why is Cleveland? You just said Cleveland is valuing it too much, and so are
they absolutely valuing it too much. Yeah.
Yeah, so it feels like this is the owner telling LeBron, listen, you're not going to win it anyway, and I'm not going to ruin this franchise for the next 5 years to increase your chance of winning another title from 5% to 7%. This felt very passive aggressive to me.
RJ Bell is our guest. I noticed the latest odds. I mean, the Warriors are pretty much odds on. Rockets second choice at 5-1. Vegas seems to like the Rockets an awful lot here if they're second choice.
Well, I mean, let's think about the math. So Golden State right now, what was the number I sent you? Minus one, what?
187.
Yeah.
187, okay. And Houston, 5-1, right?
Yes.
Okay, so $100 on Golden State wins about $60, and $100 on Houston wins $500. So it's about payoff?
Right, they like them. They like the Rockets, but relative to the way they like the Warriors, they don't like anybody the way they like the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, 100 wins you 60 versus 100 wins you 500. So, yeah, I mean, give you guys a lot of credit, but if you watch the talking heads, It's like, yeah, you know, Golden State's still the best team, but, you know, Rockets are right there. And I actually had and obviously the Vegas numbers are saying otherwise. Now, all that said, the futures market is different than the daily betting market. Futures market is more recreational. If you look at the daily betting market, and I asked Steve Fezzik, who is probably the best NFL guy in the world, but he's top 10 in the NBA, in my opinion. I said, what would the odds of the series be? Houston, Golden State, if Houston had home court. And he said Golden State minus 140. So, assuming that's generally correct, as of right now, if Houston can hold on to the one seed, you've got a 40% chance, or a little bit better, to win that, you know, I guess Western Conference final. So, to me, the idea you're getting 5-1 in the futures market, but you've got a 40% chance to win the one series that you'd be an underdog in, I mean, to me, it gives you more hope than that difference between 5-1 and minus one, you know, minus 187.
Is there any value in anybody else? I'm seeing the Spurs at 50-1. I mean, is there a team you look at and you say, you know what, that's worth a few bucks at that number?
You know, we've talked about this a few times, but it's such an important topic. I think it's worth talking about, you know, often, is go back to Larry Bird and Magic 79-80, and how many years did the champion of the NBA have either a top three player that year or a top 20 player all time? There's two different ways to do it. I think you come out in the end, there's only been a couple years in like almost 40 years, I guess, in which you didn't have one of the two top three that year. So who's the top three players right now? Right? LeBron, Durant, and Harden. So it kind of feels like it fits, right?
Yeah.
So, and here's another thing, and we have never talked about this, but it's such a powerful concept. Think about whenever you have a long shot, you're betting on two things to win a title. One is that they're better than people think, but number two is that they get lucky, right? No 30-1 shot's ever the best team. So you've got to get somewhat lucky. The NBA has less luck in who wins a series than any sport. And here's why. One, it's seven games. So forget the one and dones, right? Because that's always going to be easier to get lucky in one game. But then let's look at the 3 7-game series and say, what's the one play that could be the most luck and how does it affect the game? Baseball, you've got two guys on, two outs in the fourth. If he hits a home run, it's three runs. If he doesn't, it's zero. Or if he gets out, it's zero. Three runs is what? Three tenths of the total runs. So let's say 30 to 35% is one swing, right? And hockey, one goal, lucky, whatever, is going to be what? 1/5, 1/6 of the total scoring. In basketball, the only lucky thing that could happen is you make a three when you shouldn't have made a three. It bounces up, hits the backboard, and goes in. And that's 3 points out of what? 200 or 210. So it's like 1.5% or 30% or, you know, 20% in hockey. So really, basketball is the purest sport. It's seven games, and it's hard to get lucky. And thus, the best teams win far more often in the NBA than any other sport. Thus, I am never inclined to bet long shots on futures in the NBA.
That is a very interesting and informative way to look at that. Because
hey, listen, Fred, you don't become the guru of the universe by just trite BS. I mean, it's got to be good occasionally.
Yeah, you do have to wow us every once in a while.
So does the All-Star Weekend stuff, does that take much action, or is that just kind of a, you know, an afterthought this weekend?
You know, I tell you, back when I was like 100% betting, you know, I've been doing pregame, you know, 10 years or so. But before that, it was poker and betting pretty much full-time or full-time plus. And this is the Friday. The Friday of the All-Star is the only time before baseball, because you get the All-Star break in baseball too. But literally for like from August through June, the one day where there's really little to nothing going on is like the Friday, like today. So, like gambler, this is like the gambler's holiday today, right? They, maybe the girlfriend gets him finally to go to that Picasso exhibit down at the Bellagio. So, yeah, I mean, obviously comes tomorrow, huge college basketball. And, you know, some people bet the props and stuff when it on the All-Star game. And obviously you can bet offshore on the skills competitions and such. But in general, it's more kind of watch it or get a little breather if you're an NBA specialist.
All right. That's RJ Bell. And RJ, as always, great stuff. Appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, guys.
All right. That's RJ Bell. So that's going to do it for Jong.
Yeah.
He's out of here. Do we have anything here, Jong? I guess we don't.
All right.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're going to take a break then. We come back, we'll be on SportsMap 94.1 as well as 97.5. We'll also be dealing with Tyler. Jong, have a great weekend, and good luck with that. I hope they find that you guys are a good match.
Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.